Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute, Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Once again, we're having part two today of our interview with Mr. Rich Akin, the founder and CEO of Physicians and Surgeons for Scientific Integrity, or PSSI International. That's kind of a mouthful to say, Rich. It's a good name, it just doesn't flow off the tongue real easily. But, you know, we talked last time about your trip to Spain, and I'd like to elaborate on that right now. Maybe starting off by elaborating on what happened as a result of the media coverage, which you mentioned in the last podcast, as the major Spanish media tried to paint you guys as creationists and sort of preemptively attack your organization before you made your presentations to some Spanish universities.
What happens in Spain during the first part of January, the end of December, is they have a very long holiday season. And it's around the 6th or 7th of January before the universities start back, etc. So the 10th of January, this newspaper article goes out. The Darwinists rally around their cause, and they begin to put pressure on the universities. We were scheduled at the University of León. We were scheduled at the Colegio de Medicos, or the College of Medicine in León. We were scheduled at the University of Vigo. And because of the pressure that was put on those particular universities, particularly by the head of the Spanish Society, I believe it was the evolutionary developmental biologist, the chairman of that society, a man named Manuel Soler, and his organization, those at those universities, who in fact some of them were desirous of having our events, because of the immense pressure put on them, they canceled our events. Now keep in mind, this is less than a week before our first event, so you know logistics of that. Everything's been printed, we've all have our travel plans, and all of a sudden they cancel our events. They wanted to censor the information. They did not want the public nor the students to hear the contra information.
Wow. So were you able to recover and actually put on any kind of an event in the end?
Well, yes. In fact, our events, other than those university events, were at commercial locations. But what was amazing, Casey, was they even threatened to boycott the commercial organizations who, for profit, had executed a contract with us. We paid for those events, yet they still threatened those people. A large insurance company, a large bank, they threatened them with being boycotted if they did not shut down our events, which was absolutely amazing. But fortunately, those organizations refused to do that. So when we were in Barcelona, our first two events, had no problem there. In fact, the paparazzi came out of the woodwork. We had four TV stations in Barcelona, numerous radio stations. After the Barcelona events, Dr. Antonio Martinez, who is an ophthalmologist from León and was our MC, he was on national TV debating this Manuel Soler that I mentioned earlier. So that was seen nationally in Spain, and believe it or not, was even seen in the United States on Spanish language channels. So Barcelona went off without a hitch. Malaga on the southern coast, again, was at a major hotel conference center, went off without a hitch. Madrid was where the insurance company facility was utilized. We were able to hold those. It was in our last two cities, León and Vigo, where our events were curtailed, and instead of having two in each city, we were only able to have the evening events. But nevertheless, we still had a presence there. We still had a good turnout in those two cities. Of course, not as strong as if we'd had four events total versus two there. But still, all in all, we would say this was a dramatic success.
I recall you telling a story in the past, Rich, where you talked about some of the university faculty that came to your event, and these were some of the people who were trying to shut it down. And they came, I guess, to some of the other events that you put on that were not on the university campuses after they were kicked off. And some of their students had a reaction to what the university faculty had done in terms of trying to shut down your events. Am I getting this right? And if so, could you elaborate on this a little bit for us?
You are absolutely correct. In our last event in the city of Vigo, again on the west coast of Spain, beautiful city, in the audience in the evening event, beautiful facility, probably one of the nicest facilities I have been in anywhere. During the Q&A at the end of the presentations, the gentleman gets up and indicates eliciting a discussion, made it clear that he was one of the individuals that was instrumental in canceling the Vigo event. In fact, as I recall, he was an Oxford-educated scientist who was teaching at that university. So after the event was over and we were outside, Dr. Martinez, our MC, was talking to this individual and using the Spanish pejorative of inquisitor, of course, Spain being the home of the Inquisition, Spain, within 50 years of our discussion, or a little more than that, 60 years, had its own civil war. They were used to repression. And he told this gentleman, he said, "You, sir, are an inquisitor. You have shut down open discussion, and that should never happen in this country based on our history." And so Antonio turned around and walked off. Well, what I had noticed was this particular professor had brought a number of his students with him, and they were just standing wide-eyed as Antonio was having this discussion with this professor. When Antonio turned around and walked off, those students began to assail verbally their professor. They were saying, "Why did you shut this down in the university? Why did you not allow the students to hear this on our campus?" They were beside themselves.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow, and I mean, I just think that, you know, we often in the U.S. think that this persecution is a U.S. phenomenon.
No, not at all.
And it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, I mean, this experience really shows that the intolerance is extremely vitriolic in Europe. I mean, to actually go so far as to kick you guys off the university campus.
Well, I will tell you, at the University of Vigo, I believe it was, the dean of the biology department, his name was Juan Carlos Pena Alvarez. He is an evolutionist, but I give the man credit. He wanted to have our event on their campus, but they came down on him like a ton
of
bricks.
Wow.
And I think he realized that if he had not canceled that event, even though he was the dean of the department, he would have been in serious trouble. So he caved.
Wow.
But, you know, he was willing to have the event. And, of course, this happened at the ninth hour. But absolutely, I think it's this type of viewpoint discrimination and suppression of free speech and suppression of bona fide scientific information. We're a secular organization. Everything we presented was pure science. And what was amazing to me is in one of our events, because after we were aware of these cancellations, I ended every Q&A with this question to the audience. I would say to the audience, "I want you to ponder something as you leave here tonight. Why is it that the Darwinists and academia in Spain do not want your students to hear and see what you just heard and saw here tonight?" Mm. And this gentleman gets up in, I believe it was Madrid, and he says, "I know why, because we don't want the supernatural in our universities. We want to hear science." And my response to him was, "We have given nothing but scientific information here in these presentations. We are a secular organization, and your logic is flawed, sir, because we do not have to raise up another scientific theory to clearly demonstrate, as we have in these presentations, that Darwinism is untenable scientifically."
That is such a powerful point, Rich. And this just reminds me of what happened a couple years ago when the Council of Europe adopted a resolution declaring intelligent design basically a, quote, threat to human rights, unquote. These are people who don't want freedom of speech. They want certain viewpoints to be shut down. Obviously, you're not even promoting intelligent design, but it's very clear that their view is it's evolution or it's nothing, and they don't want any other views discussed. I respect the fact that there was the dean at the one university who wanted your event to go forth. I think that actually that is commonly the case, where I would never say that every single evolutionist academic is against freedom of speech on this topic. As a matter of fact, I think that many of them are not at all vitriolic and are certainly open to hearing both sides. But what happens is you get a sort of vocal minority that scares everybody else into shutting down discussion, and then everyone loses as a result. And I think that it sounds like, unfortunately, this dean bowed into the pressure of those who were trying to shut it down, even though he himself was not an intolerant person who didn't want freedom of speech on this topic. Yeah. And so I think what you actually experienced there is probably fairly representative of what happens a lot on this issue.
Well, the beauty of what happened, Casey, is that had this not happened, because of what happened, we were literally, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, I'm not tooting our horn, this is just reality. We were literally the talk of Spain while we were there. not because we came from America and held events in five cities in Spain, but because of the censorship that occurred. Hmm. Because of that censorship, we were on national radio, we were on national TV, and we were in nearly every newspaper in that country. Not only that, but Cesar Vidal, who is a very well-known person in Spain, has a major talk radio program heard throughout Spain. This gentleman has three PhDs. He's written 39 books. Very well spoken and very well thought of in Spain. He wrote an article in major newspaper, and he titled it The University Inquisition.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The wow. University Inquisition. And as a result, not because we were there, but because of the censorship, we had Tom Woodward and we had Dr. Martinez. And I need to mention Santiago Esquiain, our translator, who translated into Spanish what Darwin didn't know and Darwin Strikes Back. He did a great job. He was our translator for all our presentations, which is a tough job.
Wow.
But they were on national radio, where Tom Woodward, and he said it in English, and it was translated, so I heard him say it, that Darwinism is bankrupt scientifically. And he said that on national radio in Spain because of the censorship.
Well, I mean, this really puts the opposition in a difficult place. If they don't try to censor you, then you get your message out. If they do try to censor you, then thankfully our society still values freedom of speech enough to realize that if somebody's trying to shut down a message, that it must be a message that is worth hearing. And so the bottom line here is that I think that the best thing to do, if you're an evolutionist, is to simply have this debate on free and open and fair terms. Let's engage. Let's have an open and fair and respectful dialogue on these topics and let the chips fall where they may. And I think that it's very revealing that many of them apparently don't want to do that. They want to shut the issue down rather than having the debate. We're not afraid to have the debate. I know that there are evolutionists out there who aren't afraid to have the debate. Unfortunately, a fairly vocal and not entirely small minority of evolutionists trying to shut down the debate, and everyone is losing. And I think that it's certainly not helping their cause at all. I'm excited that you guys made the front page of the paper in Spain, Rich, but I don't want it to be because you're being persecuted and censored. I want it to be because there's a robust debate going on here, and it doesn't have to be this way.
The reality now with the electronic means we have today, the beauty of what happened in Spain because of the persecution is that the blogs, the Spanish language blogs in Spain, really grabbed hold of this. And the dialogue, believe it or not, here we are almost a year and a half afterwards. the dialogue on those Spanish language blogs is still going about the subjects that we raised.
Wow.
About tension between the evidence and the dogma. And what does the evidence really say? They're still going on, and they're not just Spain blogs. They're Spanish language international blogs. So this is literally going around the world as a result of what happened in Spain.
Rich Akin, thank you so much for your time today talking to us about your experiences with PSSI Physicians and Surgeons for Scientific Integrity and about your trip to Spain and all of the interesting things that happened. How can people get involved with your organization or support PSSI International?
Well, our website, of course, is PSSIinternational.com, or if you can't remember that, it's an easy one, doctorsdoubtingdarwin.com or .org. Obviously, we need funds to be able to continue to put on events. We'd love to have more physician members or just those in the public can join as well. And how they can also help is to be skeptical about what is forced on us as dogma.
Absolutely, Rich. This is wonderful. I really appreciate your time. Again, go to the website. It's PSSIinternational.com or doctorsdoubtingdarwin.com. I'm Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.